Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding GBH Investor Release 2014 Year-End Conference Call. I now hand over to Saygın Narin, CEO, and Arpak Demircan, Deputy CEO, and Selda Ilder, CFO of Global Ports Holding. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Saygın. Thanks for attending the call. The way we thought we would do it is just a brief explanation of the last year financials, and we'll be happy to take any questions you might raise. We closed 2014 with $111 million of revenue. This represents a 35% growth to $75 million of 2013. The majority of the increase comes from the inorganic growth. We managed to include three operations to the portfolio, namely Port of Bar in Montenegro, Barcelona Cruise Port, the largest cruise port in Mediterranean, Malaga Cruise Port, and partially Lisbon and the indirect investment in Singapore came this year as well. $111 million is the pro forma figures that we are publishing. This assumes a full year consolidation for all of our entities. On the other hand, the audited financials that you have received indicates a $91 million revenue, which has only 3 months of Courier Group, Malaga and Lisbon, and a full year of Port of Adria. Our profitability was similar in that trend. There has been a slight decrease on EBITDA margin, which is mostly due to Port of Adria. It was an inefficiently run operation, which was a loss-making business when we acquired it in the beginning of 2014. In end of 2014, it is small but a profitable business at $3 million EBITDA in American dollar terms. On our largest operation, Port of Antalya, we have a drop in container volume, which is mainly due to the slowdown in Chinese property market. But in terms of revenue, we managed to balance it by increasing the yields and additional services. So on a comparison basis, we have achieved the same revenue levels when compared to 2013. In Port of Adria, in Montenegro Bar, it is the first full year of operations. The company was making a $5 million loss in 2013. We've turned it into a $3 million profit company, thanks to mainly a redundancy program and some operational inefficiencies. We expect the further growth to come from the CapEx program that we have initiated, but we won't be finalizing before the end of the year. For Courier, 2014 has not been as good as 2013, which we were aware of at the time of purchasing the minority and majority shares. In terms of volume, it is a foreseeable operations. We can see the number of ships and the number of passengers almost 2 years advance. And 2000, 2015, we are expecting a 15% growth for number of passengers, which would be reflected to the margins as well. On all our ports, we are working on an integration program. I mean, we started 2013 with three ports. Now that we are operating eight ports, a lot of consolidation work is going on, especially integrating the cruise ports, the seven cruise ports we have. We are concentrating on tariff improvements in terms of cruise ports in all our ports, and also increasing the shopping revenues per passengers. I mean, if we want to put those into context, we're making around $6 per passengers from shopping in Kuşadası, whereas those figure is only $1.2 in Barcelona as of today. In terms of number of passengers, we now reach 4 million passengers. We started 2014 with only 1 million passenger. Out of 22 million cruise passenger in the world, 4 million of them stop by in our ports. We now become a very significant cruise port player, and we want to capitalize on this volume in terms of discussions and negotiations with the cruise lines, offering them packages and in return increasing our yields up. I mean that we have some negative working capital movement, as you can see at page 14 of the presentation in 2014. We were historically working with a positive working capital. None of the conditions have changed, but this is just a mere reflection of consolidating Barcelona and Port of Adria to the results. The CapEx has been significant in 2014, above our usual CapEx. We've spent $13 million on CapEx. Majority of those was a tugboat replacement in Turkish ports. We have not budgeted any CapEx other than maintenance, which would be $3-4 million for operating ports this year. The financial payables and the balance sheet reflect the bond. The gross debt has increased accordingly, and it did not have much net debt implication. This is the picture of the year in a nutshell, and as the management team, we are happy to answer any questions you might have. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask your question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question from Alexi Yannis. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Okay, three questions, if I may. The first is, I know you have cash of 46. Do you have any undrawn capacity on any revolving credit facilities or the like? Second question is, do you have a leverage policy, either in regards to what the minimum rating you'd be comfortable with is, or the maximum leverage? And third question is, I know you're planning to IPO in a few weeks. Will that IPO be a financing event, say to finance acquisitions, or will it be a liquidity event which will provide liquidity to the parent but not provide cash to the company itself? Thank you.
Okay. I mean, the answer to the first question is we have a limited revolving loan capacity. From memory, it is around $5 million. And to be honest with you, we don't have any plan to use it because the company is already generating cash, and we don't have any significant CapEx requirement going forward. On the second question, in terms of our leverage policy, we are obviously governed by the loan covenant, which was, in very simple terms, it is an incurrence covenant of 5 gross debt multiplier. Our internal leverage policy, on the other hand, is 3 net debt multiplier, which we are not there yet. I mean, in terms of IPO, I mean the legal guys advised me not to make any comment, but since this is a very public information, since it is public, I believe I could say that most of the IPO proceeds would be primary than secondary. Secondary would be a smaller element as per as declaration to the Turkish capital market.
Okay, so you'd get the proceeds, the parent wouldn't, and would those might likely be used for acquisitions?
Mainly for inorganic growth, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
We have a question from Loic Dorabel from Avantcom. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the call. I have 3 questions if I can. The first question is on your acquisitions for this year. In February, you announced that you were the only one to be approved for the tender of the Dubrovnik operations, the cruise port tender, and I was wondering what the timing is for closing that transaction. The other one is you recently announced that you are bidding for a Riga concession. If you could give us any information on the potential timing and cost. Also, if you could give us guidance on your CapEx spend for this year, that'd be helpful. And on dividend for this year as well.
Okay. In terms of for Dubrovnik, this is a project we have been working on for almost a year now. The deadline for submission of the bids is end of May, but we are contemplating on asking for an extension or 1 month or 2 months. We are the only, or consortium is the only preferred bidder. We hold 75% of the shares in the bidding entity, the remaining 25% belonging to Bouygues of France. It is very difficult to say when the closing will take place, but my expectation is it won't be closed before the end of the year. The financial close would take some time. It's a It's a semi-brownfield project. We take over the operations of the port, but we are going to build a terminal building and a shopping mall. We would be providing the design, conceptual design of the shopping mall to the client, but this needs to go through certain local approvals, which would take time.
Okay, can you please comment on why you plan to ask for an extension?
Extension?
Apply for extension.
Why we plan to do an extension?
Yeah.
Well, we want to firm up our conceptual design.
Okay.
And also the conceptual design for the shopping mall and get further firm offers from the potential users of the shopping mall.
Right.
And
okay.
In parallel, we are working both with EBRD and IFC for their potential involvement in the project. They passed the concept approval, one of them did, but it will take some time for them to be properly support or bid, which would be required at the financial close.
Okay. What about Riga?
I mean, Riga is a small port in terms of cruise traffic, and there is an element of ferry traffic in Riga as well, which happens to be larger than the cruise. And as you might be aware, we are already handling ferry traffic in two of our ports. It was actually Riga Port Authority who approached us to take over the operations. The brownfield element is very limited on that. And the sizes, equity-wise, the size is close to nil, but the entity, the operating entity, holds something between 7 to 9 million euro of debt. So we don't have the exact price, but this should give you an indication on the size.
Okay. Actually, through which entities are you going to buy those operations? I mean, Dubrovnik, you say you own 75% of the bidding entity, but which of the current GPH Global Ports Holding entities own 75%?
Well, as GPH, we have set up an entity together with Bui. And
okay.
That SPV, 75% of this SPV is owned by GPH directly.
Okay, and for the Riga as well? For the Riga,
we signed a letter of intent. We don't have the entity yet, but it would probably be GPH directly buying the entity from the port authority. Depending on the, well, we haven't looked at the tax structure yet.
Okay. Fine.
Okay.
All right. On the CapEx now for 2015, what's your CapEx budget?
Well, on 2015, the ongoing CapEx is $3 to $4 million.
Okay.
And there are two CapEx projects which we have discussed during the bond issuance as well. One of them is some 10 million remaining, 10 million euro remaining CapEx, which we have 2 years for Port of Bar. And then there is 20 million euro CapEx in Singapore, not Singapore, sorry, in Lisbon, which we are 40% shareholder as GPH or 46% shareholder together with Cruyers. So some 8 million, 9 million euros of CapEx there as well. But
for this year,
CapEx,
for 2015?
Those are for 2 years, I mean, for profiling, for our budgeting purposes, we assume half this year, half next year. Similar story for bar as well.
Okay.
Reality could be, there could be a little bit slip between years in reality.
Mm-hmm. And on dividends, you have paid 31 million in dividend, 31 million Turkish lira in dividends last year. What's your plan for this year?
I mean, we are still working, I mean, in terms of this as conjunction with the IPO, we are still working on our dividend policy going forward. We would have a board decision and disclosing it, it shortly.
Okay. And on the IPO, the timing is the next few weeks. Is that a fair assumption?
I mean, I can't, the lawyers, I think, I can't comment on this one, but what I can comment on is on the regulation, isn't it?
Well,
if there is an IPO, the deadline is 135 days from the issue of accounts, and the latest accounts we have issued is 31st of December. And this is regulation, I'm telling the regulation.
Okay.
And
so
I'll do the math for you, it comes to the 15th of May.
Okay. Fine. And to follow up on a previous question on the proceeds of the IPO, you said it was, it would be mostly primary. Is that correct? Did I understand that correctly?
Okay. And
yes. Can you say broadly the split between primary and secondary?
Just 30 to 70, something like that, roughly. I mean, of course, green shoes, things like that would come in roughly 30 to 70, 70 being the primary.
30 primary and 70 secondary?
No, just the opposite.
Okay.
70, yeah.
Primary, 30 second.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Our next question from Zafer Nazım from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks, Egan. Just a couple of questions. On dividends, have you taken any dividends so far this year through April or paid any dividends?
Yes, I mean, we have this 20 million carve-out in the bond documentation, and we have paid it out a month ago or so.
So that's $20 million?
American, yes.
Okay, cool.
That was disclosed in the bond prospectus.
Right. And just on your commercial side of the business, the container side, if you can, you mentioned some slowdown in Chinese imports. If you can give us some more color on that as to what's happening right now. How did 2015 start with respect to that? And also, what is it, just the real estate construction slowdown in China which is causing this? And lastly, if you can also give us some idea about these marble exports to China, how much of this is re-exported by China versus consumed locally?
Okay, I mean, we don't have the statistics for that, but all our discussions with the importers, those are the China-based importers, are majority of it is used for local consumption. I mean, I can't give you an exact figure, but I would expect more than 80% is used for the local consumption. What we have faced over the last 6 months of 2014 is a reduction in volume. in the exports to China. I mean, historically, we are, our exports to China has been quite parallel to the growth of the Chinese construction sector. And we were growing with the multiple. I mean, roughly the multiple was 1.5. And Chinese construction sector was growing in excess of 10%, and we were growing with multiple of 1.5. What we have faced over the last 8 months, we don't have the exact data, but the Chinese construction sector is actually there has been some growth, albeit not as much as previous years, whereas there has been a slow reduction in our exports. The largest marble fair in the world was in China a couple of weeks ago, and we have attended. I did not by myself, but our general manager in Antalya attended that. And the feedback I have been getting is, I mean, they have a lot of stocks, marble stocks in China. There has been a very much slowdown in the number of new construction, new flats being built. They expect a similar situation with 2014. 2014 and 15 will not be a lot different in terms of export volumes, but we would see the growth, maybe not double digit, but a single digit construction growth in China, and our growth will be, we expect, parallel to that.
I see. So, and how did 2015 start versus, I guess, end of last year or compared to the same period in 2014?
Well, the first 6 months of 2014 was pretty good. So we have a reduction when compared to the first 3 months of 2014. But we are slightly better than the last 3 months of 2014. We're worse than when compared the first 3 months, better than when we compared to the last 3 months.
And if you can remind us, what percentage of the container traffic from Antalya is marble exports to China? Where does that stand right now?
Well, if you consider the empty impact as well, because most of the containers come empty and go full, it is between 75% to 80% of the total container volume.
And can you also just tell us a little bit about pricing, how that's been in the back half of last year, and also what kind of pricing on the commercial side do you expect this year?
We had roughly a 10% improvement in 2014 in pricing per container. So albeit the decrease, we managed to achieve the same revenue result. For 2015, we made a slight price increase between 2-2.5% increase in the tariffs.
And that increase you've already taken?
That is already implemented. We expect the yields to go up by 5%. 2.5% from the tariff increases, another 2.5% change in the mix of the containers.
And your volume expectation for the commercial business, both on the bulk side as well as container, what do you expect this year to be?
We expect a similar result when compared to 2014. We want to achieve for 2014 volumes, but 5% with a 5% higher yield.
Okay, I guess just one more question on the inorganic growth side. So you mentioned Riga and Dubrovnik. Any other, in terms of the pipeline or other potential targets, is there anything else out there that you are actively working on?
Well, there are a couple of opportunities we have been following up since long time, I would say. One of them is Venice. 53% of the Venice cruise port is owned by the municipality and together with municipality and port authority. They have unofficially announced that they might sell in the second half of 2015. They may launch the process in the second half of 2015. I mean, being the largest cruise port consolidator, we would be interested in that. This is the main opportunity together with Dubrovnik.
What kind of passenger traffic does Venice have?
This is the second largest cruise port in Mediterranean, slightly less than Barcelona, in excess of 2 million passengers. And with hefty, like anything else in Venice, it's with hefty tariffs.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Zafar. Thank you.
Our next question from Ant Mutraj from Stemco. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. I have one question. I remember on the last call for the Q3 numbers, you actually mentioned that you weren't too happy with the performance of your bond, which obviously traded at fairly low levels in around the 80s at the time. Obviously, the bonds have recovered quite a bit. They're in the 90s now. I was just wondering, with the IPO proceeds, have you considered or will you consider actually repurchasing some of the bonds, as that obviously would support the prices any further and would be allowed under the bond documentation? Obviously, where you can buy up to 35% of the bonds with the proceeds of an IPO.
Okay, I mean the situation is the same. I mean, in the last conference, I think it was beginning of the year, and I told that I made a recommendation as the management. We have made a recommendation to the. To the board, that I mean, this is one actions we need to take in our opinion. Obviously, with the IPO discussions, a structural investment like that has not been decided on.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some improvement already.
Yeah,
but we. As the management, we seriously believe that it's not where it should be. It should be trading. And as the management, we still repeat that recommendation. But I think the decision would be given after the outcome of IPO, nothing earlier than that.
Okay, no, that's
Our next question from Nicola Valenci from PIC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I've got three questions. The first one is on CapEx. You've already given some information there. I just wanted to make sure that I understood the information. So you're saying $3 to $4 million of maintenance CapEx for next year, or for this year, sorry.
Yeah.
10 million euros over 2 years for Bar and 8 million euros over 2 years for Lisbon.
Yeah.
So roughly that's about $13 million or so of CapEx for this year, so same sort of level as last year. Is that correct?
That is correct. 18, 9, yeah, 10, yeah, $13-14 million this year.
Okay. Actually, in terms of the maintenance capex for 2016, would that be the same sort of level? Because I think you previously provided the guidance for annual maintenance capex, which was lower, I think, 2 to 3 million.
Okay. I mean, we haven't made the detailed analysis of it, but it should be 2 to 4 million, yes, for 2016. Obviously, we would have one more entity, which is BAR, which would need maintenance, but it wouldn't make any significant impact since the superstructure would be new.
Okay. My second question is on the port of Adria BAR. Could you comment on the growth potential around that port, because it's still relatively small, but from what I recall, the capacity of the port is very large and is currently only utilized by probably 5 to 6% or even less.
Yeah, I mean, we believe it could do up to 1 million containers, well, TUs, that port. It was doing 30,000 TU when we bought it. Last year it did very close to 40. I mean, in the medium term, we don't expect it to reach the capacity. The issue is there is some 200,000 TUs in the region, which we believe are better connected to Port of Bar rather than the competitors. Competitors being Port of Rijeka, little bit Thessalonica, and little bit Port of Durres. Once we make the superstructure investment, once the port is efficient, then we would get significant portion of this 200,000 TUs, which should be destined for Port of Bar. And the further growth would be the GDP multiplier growth of this 200,000 TEU.
Okay. Of the 200K TEU, how much of that do you think you could potentially capture?
I mean, in 3-4 years, I believe we could capture 70% of that 200. I mean, the situation is like that. There is only one crane in the port, which is some 40 years old. We've ordered a new crane. So we can't give an adequate service to the lines. Currently, it is MSC and CMA who is visiting the port. And unfortunately, there are delays in servicing them. They have to, the whole ship sometimes needs to wait a day or two for getting a service. Once the crane's in place, I think there would be an automatic hike in the volume. But it won't reach the 70% overnight just because we are efficient. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we are just part of the logistic chain. And the other parts of the logistic chain should need to structure themselves, especially land transportation, which will be done with our support, with our marketing, but will take couple of years.
Okay. And that growth would not require any additional capex over and above the 10 million euros over 2 years that you've mentioned already?
Yeah, I mean, the total capex was 13. We've done some of them already. No, it doesn't. It will not require any significant capex unless it goes beyond 300,000 TUs or 250,000 TUs.
Okay, thank you. That's useful. And my last question is on the EBITDA for for this year. Could you give any guidance on the absolute level and the margin, excluding any acquisitions?
We're looking at between, excluding any acquisitions, we're looking between 80 to 85 million American dollars.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
80 to 85 million American dollars we're looking at.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding.
Okay.
We have a question from Sergey Lipi from KVA. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, good to hear from you again. Can you, not on mute, okay. Just one thing on the Lira FX. Can you just give us an idea in terms of when we're thinking about EBITDA as the Lira depreciates, how should we be thinking about margins, i.e. for each incremental depreciation, what are we getting in terms of margin increase?
You know that we have American dollar cost for the Turkish ports and euro cost, American dollar revenue for the Turkish ports, euro revenue for the European ports, and the costs, which are 30% of the revenues, are mostly in Turkish lira. Like 70% of our costs in Turkey are Turkish lira. So any depreciation, a further depreciation of Turkish lira would increase our margins. When quoting this 80 to 85 million figure, I've used the budget exchange rate assumption, which was very close to the current rates, maybe some 5% below current rates. I mean, if current rates prevail through the rest of the year, I mean, I didn't do the full calculation, but it should give another half a million or so upside.
What is it? So you're saying half a million EBITDA for every 5% move in? Is that fair? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, something like that, between half and a million.
Okay. And just when we think about the ports and the ports that you have, just thinking about EBITDA and maintenance capex, not any kind of investment capex, are you guys free cash flow positive now? And if so, what was sort of the general run rate that you've had in the first quarter of the year?
Well, we are free cash flow positive, and we've been like that. And the running rate is let me just calculate.
Sure, thanks.
I mean, slightly above 50% when we consider the tax element and maintenance capex.
Sorry, I didn't catch that. 50% of what?
Of the revenue is translated into free cash flow.
50% of the revenue. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Good luck on the IPO. Thank you, guys.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no other questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Well, many thanks for attending and hope to meet with you in 3 months time. There has been a slight delay in announcing the numbers due to the automated processes we have. It wasn't contractually possible. We'll try to announce our figures earlier than this time. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.